You might like to turn in your Bible to Hebrews and chapter 12. In our exercise in Hebrews chapter 12, and remember the chapter 12 is exercising chapters 1 through 11. And 1 through 11 are to help us understand our relationship to Christ. We're new creatures in Christ. Hebrews 1 through 11 helps you understand how to implement, exercise that life. And we share together importance to understand that God made Adam and Eve to enjoy God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. They're to enjoy their physical being, physical, by the body. How can we enjoy eating, coming, going, drinking, eating? How do we enjoy that? Because you and I live in a physical body that has taste buds, digestive system. You live in that body. When they're done with the body, you leave it. That body is for earth. To understand that, you need to have a reasonable, healthy relationship to your body in order to enjoy daily existence. You understand that? You need to have a unique relationship to God to understand your relationship to Him. Your relationship to earth by way of the body. Your relationship to God by way of God. You have a relationship. It's an exercise of that relationship. Genesis, remember, chapter 1 and 2. God created everything. Verse 131. Everything was very good. God rested, chapter 2, on the seventh day. He was finished. Everything was in order for a human being to enjoy God's wonderful, wonderful person. And the environment was perfect. And the relationship was to be enjoyed. That's what God made. Adam and Eve sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, it blocked out that relationship. It cut it off. Back to the physical. When your physical body doesn't function, you're pronounced dead. When your spiritual relationship isn't working, you're pronounced spiritually dead. Do you understand? You're dead. You're walking around, but you're dead. Now, and hang on to that, because in the morning, if we tarry, God tarries, and we live that long, you're going to see this rise up again in the Gospel of John. Now, having said that, and keeping that alive, God has made a wonderful, wonderful life. That life, there are no second best, third best. There's just one wonderful relationship that you saying it straightway, that we have to God. And that's the relationship God made when He made us out of Adam, from Adam, that He created us for in His image and likeness to be able to enjoy Him. There's only one. There's not 10 different views, 10 different varieties. No, there aren't. One unique relationship to enjoy God, His person. Sin broke that off. When Christ died on the cross, He made it possible to put that back together, paying the penalty for our sin. So, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we enter into a new relationship. It isn't something where you walk around and you have a little package of life or something, and you put it in your pocket. God gave it to you from the cross. You don't have that. So if you're thinking you have life like that, no, you don't. You only have life in Christ, his person. And it's your person related to his eternal person that gives you an eternal relationship called eternal life. That's what it is. Do you get that? So you have to exercise it. Hebrews 12 is telling you to exercise 1 through 11 by faith. By faith, we have to learn, as we read in Hebrews 4, we learn to rest in what? His finished work. Hebrews 4, 9 and 10. We cease from our own doing to enjoy his doing, to enjoy his relationship that he makes possible. Without him, we're dead. With him, we live. Simple as that. And we live because the relationship is a valid one. Why do we die spiritually? Because we have no relationship to God. So we can't enjoy God in an eternal heaven because we have no relationship to him. We rejected the relationship. So we don't have it. Just don't have it. Now, so here's Hebrews 12, and since we have to rest, and we're resting what? In his finished work. The wonderful plan he has for creating us. That's a wonderful thing to be understood. It isn't popular. It isn't common. But that's what's to be understood. So I need to grab that. You and I are sitting here talking about it and thinking about it. There are people all over the place that have no thought whatsoever of what we just said. They have no thought of putting that together, and they're going to come to church, go to church, do whatever, and it'll never occur in their brain. They'll go to church next week and the week after. Okay, now, so therefore we have to have faith in order to rest in his finished work, to enjoy it. And that faith resting in his finished work is now able to enjoy and exercise faith resting in who he, the relationship, now exercise the relationship on a daily basis. Therefore, run the race. God isn't saying something, well, I'm not a runner, and I don't do that, and what can I do? I'm talking about that. We're talking about something exceedingly higher than that and better than that. We're supposed to enjoy the relationship full time, full heart. Therefore, chapter 12, verse 1, quickly, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, chapter 11, etc., all of God's word, giving all of the examples of where believers trusted God. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every encumbrance, anything in any way that hinders us from enjoying that. And like we said, the Olympic people that train for the Olympics, etc. I mean, they're wholehearted if they're going to even come close to getting in the game. And they're wholehearted and they have all of the excess stress and strain, the hours of the day, the exercises, the denial of general things in their life. Why? So that they can have the other things. That's it. Except a man deny himself and take up his cross, he cannot follow me. Committed. What am I committed? Oh, I don't want to be committed. What? Why not? It's a relationship. You're committed to your physical life, and you never argue that. You never argue about your physical life. But when it comes to spiritual life, what is that anyway? Now, having said that, laying aside every weight and the sin, that's unbelief, which so easily besets, to wrap around us, to surround us, to encompass us. In other words, it wraps itself around us like a wrestler and won't let go. It doesn't want to let go. That's what you have to understand. Your old nature is one rascal. It is one awesome boy, is it strong. And it's strong. It doesn't take much to show it. All you can do is offend us and watch out. Pew, pew, we go like that. Quick. That's our old nature. So we got to understand the problem isn't an easy battle. It's an easy battle, but you've got to understand how to fight the enemy. If you fight the enemy wrong and try to hit him, you can't hit your old nature in the face. You can't put your old nature in a box. Your old nature is one live entity. What are we going to do with our old nature? God said, I'm telling you, the only way you handle your old nature, Romans 6:11, reckon yourself dead. When Christ died on the cross, he made you free. Now, what are we going to do? By faith, you're going to understand the chain is broken that holds you. By faith, you're going to do that because you walk by faith. You live by faith. Your faith rests in God's wonderful person. Your faith is able to run in God's wonderful person in a most wonderful, wonderful way. But you have to understand, God has taken care of it. So we don't talk about it. We don't want to discuss it. We don't want to debate it. We don't want to argue with it. It's just dead. And we know, what do we do with people that die? Hold it that way, a nicer way to look at it. When you go to the cemetery, go talk to one of the stones. Go talk to one of the stones, someone lived and died, and tell them whatever you want. Tell them whatever you want. Would you tell me what differences it makes? Why? Because they're dead. We're supposed to practice that. But you can't. Yes, you can. You're free. You don't have to get hung up on your thoughts, your worries, your fears, your faults. You don't have to get hung up on them. No, you don't. Just thank God by faith. Try the word, thank you. Thank you, God. And you go. Now, easily beset us and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run the race, to run the race. So it isn't a question of suggestion. It isn't a question of, well, maybe I will, I'm not a runner or whatever. No, if you're a believer, you need to understand God saved you from death to life. And God expects you to exercise that life. There's no excuses. There's no way around it. There's no way to talk about it in any way. You thank God you died. Christ took you to the cross so that you're free from all the pressures, the encompassing that grabs you like the wrestler. You're free. You're free. You can squeeze me all you want, but the more you squeeze me straight into Christ. You squeeze me into my heart. You squeeze me into myself, into Christ within me, and you're only going to press me to Christ. All the pressure will only drive me closer to you, God. That's what it'll do. It won't take me away. It makes me stronger. Now, so therefore, to run the race, and now, and to do so with patience. And just that one part, without doing it, hang on, because you remember it. I'm glad you remember all this stuff because, what can I tell you? But your old nature, reason I have to say it again and again, again and again, I think we just, anyway, you have to keep saying it. Why? Because our old nature keeps winning. And we have to overcome the old nature. So we're never, never victorious for 24 hours. I live the whole day for God. No, you fought through the whole day, and hopefully you trusted God, and God blessed you during the whole day. But it was a battle to stay trusting God like that. Because every time you say something, do something, think something, that's your old nature, unless you let it correct. You're looking to God to help you through your thoughts, your words, your deeds, what you do, work, home, school, family, friends, eating, drinking. That's what you do. You're looking to God, thanking God for the relationship that gives you a relationship to God that enjoys eternal life. Physical life you have, spiritual life you have. The spiritual life overrides and outranks the physical life. The physical life is going to end. Flesh and blood, 1 Corinthians 15. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And nothing can stop eternal life. Nothing. Now, having said that a little bit, I mentioned something. Back over to Romans. In chapter 15. And in chapter 15, you remember we did it. I'm just reminding myself. Chapter 15, picking up, please, in verse 4. For whatsoever things, 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That's why we got the Bible. That the purpose of that we should through patience, bearing up under the load, endurance, carrying the load, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So we need hope because that's how we live. That's how you go from one moment to the next, expecting, anticipating that you can get to the next moment. And therefore, we're enduring the scriptures. So why are we looking at this? What does God do in Hebrews 11? He quoted all the different places of different believers. So how they believed God. From where? From the Bible. That's what he did. From the Bible. That's why I gave you all the 66 books. What? To have the Bible. You want to know. So scriptures. Verse 5. Now the God of patience, the God who authorizes and implements endurance, the God of patience and consolation, comfort, and grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. We need to have the same mind. How are we going to have the same mind? We're all different. That's true. And we're all over the place depending on your background, your experience, growing up, your family, however you grew up, wherever you grew up, that's what we are. But our like-mindedness, that's our physical life, is all living in a physical body, and we're all different. But in Christ, you're not all different. You're all able to have spiritual life, a relationship to God. That relationship to God is to be exercised. Wonderful relationship to God. That relationship to the same God, this God over this side, and the God over this side is the same. His word is the same. His love is the same. His word, his will, his way, his work is the same. You know, I had one sister back then. And in the process, my sister was my sister. There's a lot of girls on the street, where they're up in Boston, some of them, and did all that, lots of people. But I only had one sister, because she was from the same mother and father. Okay, we're from the same father. And we're all family. In what? Enjoying life's Christ. So if you enjoy life's Christ properly, and you enjoy life's Christ properly, you're going to be the same. You may be all different in many ways. Some will eat spaghetti and some will eat rice, whatever you do. But in the basis of living, you're the same. You're different, know different, understand different, all kinds of things that are varied, but we have the same love, the same Lord, the same life. That's common. That's what's missing. You've got to have that. But the average believer is missing that. So we live a normal life as unsaved people, even though we're saved. With each other and everything. That's how we live. That's how we act. That's how we do. But we don't do it in that life. Because if you're a believer, and I'm a believer, and I'm trusting Christ, we're one. We enjoy that wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully. But to the measure that the old nature's in control, which is 99.9% of the time, old nature, then we're just normal people doing normal things. Some people are normal. They're all over the place, people are. And so God, that's what we're going to do. We're going to face humanity, our own humanity and that of others. So therefore, in verse 5, now the God of patience and constantly grant you to be like-minded, and that's what I was trying to emphasize. That's the normal Christian life. That's church believers. That's why God said, unless you love one another like that, you're not my disciple. We don't pick this person and reject that person. You can't do it. Not if I'm saved. Can't do it. Well, we do it. That's true. That's your old nature. And you'll never grow. You'll never know. You need to grow. You need to run the race. How many believers run the race? How's that? How many believers do you know that are running the race like it's supposed to be? Even in the pulpit, how many? I say what I want. I told you the truth. I said it. You all agree, and we all amen it. And I'll go do what I'm going to do, and you go do what you're going to do. And we're done. We're done with the truth. We package it up in a book and close it to the next truth. And we got a whole lot of stuff we learned. You learned it. A good illustration. When you went to school, some of you are still going to school, maybe. And when you went to school, didn't you learn? And I remember learning, trying to learn anyway, in high school and all that. Remember high school they used to do? In school, secular, 12th grade, you learned civics. You could take chemistry. You did all these things, right? And you did them. So when you were whatever. So we did them. And we did all those things. Now, but you know what? All of those things, wonderful things, history and everything, all of that, if it isn't used, if it isn't exercised, it disappears, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It does. You know it does. You say, well, I don't know that. Well, wait a little while and you'll know. What are you going to know? I used to know the alphabet. How's that? I wouldn't trust myself in the alphabet today for nothing. For nothing. I don't trust it. I have a little book that I use. I have my desk for words. It happens to be 100 years old. 100 years old. I've been using it. It's a book 100 years old. I still use it. often use it every day, looking up something in a word, 100 years old. Wow. Because we lose it. If we don't use it, we lose it. Same with your body. If you don't use it, you lose it. You got to do it. Most people aren't doing it at all. And that's what we call it, fellowship, but it is not fellowship. Fellowship has to include God. Friendship, you could get away with that. But if you're going to talk about fellowship from God's point of view, you can't have fellowship with each other apart from God. All it is a bunch of Christians together doing something. That's all it is. Bible school or anything. That's all it is. What's the difference? Oh, well, we're Christians. Someone else is something else. Whatever they are. So we do. So all of that chit-chat saying, I'm trying to help you understand God is trying to say something as clearly and as simply and as forcefully as he can. Because he's going to say, sliding down to verse 4, chapter 12, verse 4, ye have not yet resisted, overcome, unto blood, striving against sin. Now the little key word in there, yet. And remember now, we're jumping way ahead a little bit. The Lord is crucified. And he's saying, do you understand? I went to the cross. And so before you start complaining about being a believer and not having people understand, if you're really going to do this right, you're going to be sort of freakish. Because you aren't worrying, you aren't so disappointed, you aren't discouraged, you hang in there, and thick and thin, you sort of just keep going along, trusting God. It's sort of odd. So therefore, we have to understand, God said, before you complain about your life and your problems and everything, look at the cross and look at what I did for you. And then, verse 4, you have not yet. It's still to come. What you've gone through so far in your life, you aren't finished yet. You've got to finish it. I went all the way to the cross to finish. You are going to go through on planet Earth representing me all the way down the corridor, and you aren't finished yet. There's more to come. And as we go down now in our country and everywhere, you're going to find, if you were anti-Semitic, Jewish, anti-Semitism in that, well, anti-Semitism is there, and it's certainly increasing, going to increase a lot. And in the process of all of that, so we aren't Jewish, no, but you're believers. And believers are not churchgoers, no problem. Believers who are looking to God and letting God be God are not popular. They're not. They're not popular in the churches they sit in. Real believers in the more modern typical church are not popular. They're odd ducks in that church. Isn't it? So here's the real believers. And the believers need to understand in God's wonderful, wonderful grace that God is helping them to overcome. But it isn't finished yet. And that's what's wonderful, because the next section is all about discipline. If you're loved, remember, I'm jumping ahead since we're way off base anyway. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, spanking, discipline, God loveth you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But, on contrast, if you're not, if you be without chastening, wherein all, A-L-L, are partakers. God doesn't have any favorites. God is, all of them have to be changed. Then are ye bastards, illegitimate, and not sons. Simple. If you don't say, well, I don't have, no one bothers me, you may not be saved. I don't know. Well, when I'm saved, I don't know you're saved. I don't know that. God knows. Do you know? For sure. That's what God says. Because you never wanted to latch on to what I had for you. And so you got all these things we got. So now, we finished Hebrews. I'll close the book. We're done. I'm just kidding. Did you get the idea? I spent a lot of time. I'm trying to help you understand the background, the foundation of what this is all about. Otherwise, I'm just going to read the verses. And you're not going to understand. You have to put the truths in Hebrews 12 on top of God's wonderful saving grace on Calvary's cross. Put the on top of it so that you can implement them. So therefore, having said that, let us run the race that is set before us. Since we did that little sidetrack, over to Philippians and chapter 3. And Philippians chapter 3, remember Paul, who has everything from a human standpoint? He has riches, actually had riches. He's a Roman citizen. He's a Pharisee. He's a leading Pharisee. He's not just an ordinary Pharisee. He's a zealous Pharisee. And he has everything. He's a Jew, educated. He has everything. And thus, as you know, in verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have let me see, what does that say? No. What's N-O mean? Do you need to look up N-O? In dictionary, what does N-O mean? No confidence in the flesh. None. In me dwelleth no good thing. I got it. But no, I haven't got it. That's right. You need to get it. You need to get it. That's the trouble. That's why stuff comes out of our mouth and do things. And we are. The young people growing up, are they exposed by the adults to this truth? No, probably not. I grew up just like everybody else, and by the end, exposed to the truth. So there's therefore no need to consider. Your parents are one way and the system's another way. Now, so, and therefore, Paul says, I count it all but dung, remember, in verse 8, sliding over, God said, it's all nothing. And you have to get to that point. And if you haven't got to that point, you need to get there. That's what you need to get. You don't count anything. Don't count on yourself. Don't count on others. Don't count on anybody but God to get you through it. That doesn't mean you aren't trusting and doing things in a common sense way. Obviously, you're going down the thing. If you've got a problem, hang on to the railing. You do common sense things, but you're trusting God. You're trusting God. And therefore, sliding over to verse 14, which is what I wanted to say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not like it. Watch, here's a graph. Here's a graph, bottom line, time, and here's intensity. And here we are, and people do this. Up and down, up and down, up and down. That's what they're doing. Up and down, up and down. And they ought to be doing, 45 at least degree angle, should be going upwards. Should be going up. We should be growing and knowing and knowing. Not up and down, not up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. No. We press to the mark. And 1 Corinthians. And here's Paul. You want to see him again. Here's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 24. 9 and 24. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We have a whole different motivation. We're motivated differently. We're running differently for different reason. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one beateth the air. In other words, it's a real battle, it's a real race. Verse 27, but I keep my body under, my body, and bring it into subjection. Remember what we did? All encompasses, everything that wraps around us. You know, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway and put on the shelf. Paul said, I understand. There's not much of that today. That's why at the end of the age, the end of the age, will I find the body of truth? What we're reading. Will I find the body of truth, which we're looking at? Will I find it? No. It's a question that has an answer to it. No. Rhetorical question. No. So when you look out there, around, and you see the people, the world, and us guys in the middle of it, it's like it is because it's like it is. They don't need a place for God. And we can do a lot of wonderful things, but we don't connect. Hey, hang on. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, back over to Hebrews. And as we've spent all this time to try to help you with the background, I think from my little bit of being in the world and exposed to the world, I don't find it, what we just went through, all of that, in detail a little bit. I don't find it. I would have to go back years ago to dear people that wrote and experienced and lived such kind of lives. But I don't see it today. I just don't see it. Wish I saw it. Just isn't there. Because the mood, the movement is totally way over here. And it's never coming back. So I need to understand that. And that mood and direction, I don't want to be there, God, and neither do you. God, I want to make it. I don't want to lose out on my stupid system that leaves you totally out of the picture. I don't want to do that. I want to look to you and grow and know. No one else may care. Family won't care. The kids don't care. Husband doesn't care. Wife doesn't care. But I care. God cares. So, Hebrews 12. Looking. What are we going to do? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, to look to be able to overcome, to look away from all else, fixing our eyes, trusting, looking to God. Remember Joshua and Caleb in the Old Testament, Numbers, and that they followed closely, and that's why they were so rewarded. And by the way, they lived 38 years, Joshua and Caleb, for the wilderness part. They lived 38 years in the wilderness. And how many friends do you think they had to fellowship with? Not many. Because they're following God, and not many. Now, there's Moses and Aaron, but they're different. They're different, a little different position. But they, in other words, they lived in a world like ours. That is, that if you really want to follow God like that, well, no one does that. But that's how the world is. But then you live in that world. We live in it. And the world can do what it does. Now, having said that, in the light of that, of Numbers, etc., since we're off again, John chapter 12. John chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 26. 12:26, our Lord. Wonderful, we did it, remember. If you may or may not, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If you're going to follow me, wherever I go, he said, you're right behind. You're right. When I look around, you're right behind me. You're right behind me. That's what Caleb and Joshua did. They were right behind him. And you know from 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, and we have to have that. Could you say that? Could I say that? Oh, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what he said. He tells the believers, follow him. He's headed to Christ. If I follow the heart, where are you going to lead me? Where are you going to bring me, actually? Not to your work, not to job, not to your family, not to your personality, not to your whatever else. Am I gonna get to God closer? Isn't that a reasonable thing? I bet you if they ask, put that on, I'm gonna tell Biden, the president, to have a little lecture on this so that he could help us all. That'd be funny. Anyway, you got the idea. To follow me as I follow Christ. And you always, we've shared this for you, all you people, you know this. For years we've shared it since we've been here. When you have a leader, you don't find a leader facing you to go with against you like this. You'll find the leader's back. He's running. She's running. And all you'll do, follow them. Follow them. They set the example. They set the pace. They're going. Follow me. Say, don't do what I say. Follow me. And having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, Ephesians. And you'll see it again. And Ephesians chapter 5. And remember, 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. That's a wonderful thing. And here again, the epistle to the Hebrews, Ephesians, I should say. Chapter 5, verse 1, be their followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given us for us an offering and a sacrifice in God for a sweet-smelling savor. So God, we're going to what? We're going to follow. That's what we're going to do. And God, how are we going to do so? Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. I got to have an example. I got to have some, to follow the North Star. I got the North Star. No, I got a person. I'm in the presence of God. I need to follow and let God. God leadeth. He leadeth, I think, Psalm 23. He leadeth in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So I'm going to follow. That's what I do. God, take me down the road. I can't see the road. I can only see Psalm 119. I can only see a couple of feet in front of me. So I can. That's all I can do. The word is a lamp and light under my feet on my path. I can look at my feet. I take a little step. But you see the distance. So I'm able to follow. So God, I'm taking one step at a time, looking to you. Psalm 25. And in Psalm 25, picking up, if I may, a wonderful, wonderful thing. God, teach me thy way. You're going to keep saying that all over. 25, verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. God, help me. Verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. God, you got to help me. I got to learn. I'm a student. Verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. God's the teacher, and I want to learn. His soul shall dwell in ease, at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Hebrews 12:2, verse 15. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. He shall pluck my feet out of the net. I'm looking to God. Doesn't mean, as you know, we're doing all of that. Doesn't mean there aren't traps, tricks. We fall, we fail, we goof. We do all kinds of stuff that we shouldn't do. Say stuff we shouldn't do. God help us. But at least we're trying to get there. So, in the process, as we're doing so, God, looking to God, and we're going to fall. But if we fall, we look up. God, how did we fail? We failed to trust you and look at you. So that's, it doesn't mean you won't fall when you do that. But when you do, verse 15, God is there to help you through the problem as your discipline. What's gone? Hebrews 12, what's it about? Discipline. If I love you, I'm going to teach you. You fall. Well, all of us growing up, we did. We learned to walk. You know, you learn to walk down the corridor, you learn to walk, waddle around you, whatever, and you run, you know, all these things I've seen, I can picture in my mind, little kid running in the room, running to get somewhere, boom, smack into the corridor, into the corner, boom, boom. And he'd go and he'd get all through there, and he grew up. You fall down, you get hit, you break bloody nose, you have to overcome. You go through the battles. That's what you do. And that's how you learn. You got to go through them. But if we're trusting God as believers and we're alert and awake and alive, we're able to go and look to God and he helps us through them. So God, how are you going to help me? How long is it going to take? Zero. God, I goofed. Now, I want you to go into the solitary confinement for 3 months with water and bread. Okay, God. See, no, I didn't do that. What are you going to do, God? I goofed. 1 John 1:9. If we will do what? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boom! It took 3 seconds for me to fix that. Literally fix it. God's done with it. I'm done with it. It was a stupid thing. Stupid. And then you fix it. and need to correct it publicly if you need to sometime. And you do it, and you run. You run the race, looking to God. God's going to pluck our feet out of the net. Yes, we're looking to God. Why did I recover so quickly? Because I'm looking to God. And I remember 1 John 1:9, what he told us. If we confess our sin, I'm remembering. If I don't look to God, what good's his word? If I don't look to God, there's no way. I'm not going to learn anything. The only way the word's truth, confess our sin, that's a wonderful truth. You're forgiven all trespasses. All of that is real because of God. If I leave God out, I'm looking at the cemetery, but I don't understand what life is. I understand death, but I don't really understand it. I need to look to God, to the living God, to help me. And when I'm doing that, he brings to my mind that which I've learned a little bit, that which I'm trying to learn, and he helps us. He's going to chasten his children. He loves them, but he's going to let them learn. And that's what you have to do. You've got to go through the bumps and everything else and the stupid things we say and the do and all about our selfness and I've got to protect our family and everything. And we don't care. We love each other. We don't. How can I love you? You see, why should you love me? Well, it isn't because of us. It's because of God. And that's a commitment. On my part, your part. That's what a commitment. It isn't a game, it's a commitment. I'm loving. I owe you. I owe you. And I say that just in case. I don't hold anything against anyone. And I've been a little while and I've had a whole lot of stuff thrown at me that's way out of line. Stupid anyway, you don't need all that. I don't hold anything against anyone before God. I'm free. I have never done that. I don't do that about anybody. Some say, well, you hold it. No, I don't. I know if you're doing wrong and it pays off, I'll tell you. I use that quickly in closing. Remember when we used to have a whole lot of people coming out and every now and then there'd be somebody to say, show their sincerity. And Pastor, let me know if I do any wrong or in the wrong direction. Please tell me, okay? Now that's a wonderful, wonderful commitment, it is. Not everyone says that, but they did. People say that. And then you go, and you remember that, and then they go off track, and you say, listen, Susie, whatever, you need to fix this. You're in the wrong direction. Well, what right have you got to tell me that? See, whatever. And then I've never found anybody that received when I told them I did wrong. So I don't tell anybody they're doing wrong too much. I just watch them because no one listens anyway. You see, what's the sense? What's the sense trying to help anybody? We have to help them. Why do I have to help them? I wish I didn't have to help them. Because God loves them. And I have to help them. I would like to walk away and say, like Moses, I said, this is horrible. But I can't. Because God said, you can't do that. I love them. And I love them in you and through you. And you're going to love them. Committed, not love to approve of all stupid things we do. I'm not in for that. I'm the wrong guy. Lots of people don't care. They'll never practice discipline. They don't do it. It isn't done. But I'm not that way. I'm sort of liberal, a little in that way. Well, I'm getting weaker. But I don't do that. You have to remember that as an assembly. If I die, you want to remember that people don't discipline. They don't speak up. They won't deal with the issues. And I don't think there's any issue in all of the years. I don't think there's any issue. When we always try to address, when an issue comes up, I try to deal with it as best I can. But I don't avoid it. I don't avoid the verse in the Bible, and I don't avoid the need to do something from the pulpit. If it has to be done, I'll do it. I don't care the consequences. 10 people that are with it are worth 500 that sit here and are never with it. 10 people are better than 500 people. No question about it. Anyway, you got the idea? Thank you for bearing with me all of this. I'll remove 10 minutes from the morning message to help you. Thank you.